Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be looking at Hosea, Perek Dalet, the fourth chapter of the book of Hosea. The focus of this Perek is really bad leaders, and it is now a shift in the book. Up till now it had been demonstrating prophecies where Hosea had been doing certain actions which represented certain ideas and metaphors. Now it's going to be straight rebuke from this Perek onwards. And in this perek, we have 19 psukim, which are divided up into four distinct sections. The first section runs from Pasuk Aleph to Gimel and talks about the sin and punishment of Israel. So he turns to Bnei Israel and he says, Shimu Dvar Hashem Bnei Israel, listen, O Israel, Ki Riv La Hashem Im Yoshvei Haaretz. Hashem has a bone to pick with you. Why? What is the bone to pick? So he explicates it very clearly. Ki ein me'emes ve'ein chesed ve'ein das elokim ba'aretz. There is no truth, there is no chesed, which is charity or kindness, and there is no knowledge of Hashem in the land. And because of this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises the land will mourn for them, and they will not, and Hashem will make desolate the land. There will be nothing living, not even animals, the chayas ha'sadeh and the of ha'shamayim, and even the degei ha'yam, even the fish of the sea will be stranded, it will be gathered from it or taken away from it. So this is the first section. Because of your sins, the land will be punished. What is interesting over here is the focus of the three sins. Before we move to the next section, the focus of the three sins for which they are being blamed. They are, again, truth, kindness, and knowledge of Hashem. The Chida points out remarkably a very interesting idea, and that is he believes that there are three ikarim upon which the entire Torah rests, and they are Torah, Tzedakah, and Anava. That is the learning of Torah, or the ideas of Torah, charity, and humility. Interesting. And he points out that these are the three things which are being undermined here in the context of the sins of Israel and the Northern Kingdom, which is what he's pointing out. It would be fascinating to understand how those relate to other sets of three foundations. We know about two sets of three foundations that Pirkei Avos talk about in the first Perek, and that the world stands on, and relating to other ideas. But it's fascinating. This is what he points out are the three main necessary points for humanity to exist. It does seem interesting that these words and ideas or concepts do seem to be related to the words varastich li lolam, varastich li betzedek over mishpat, over chesed, over rachim, varastich li be'emunah v'yadat es Hashem. It does seem to be that they're related to the three levels of betrothal that Hashem promised Israel at the end of Perek Beis. Food for thought. Let's move on to the next section. The next section runs from Pasuk Dalad to Yud. In this section, HaKadosh Baruch Hu now turns to the leaders and talks about the guilt of the leaders because they didn't do anything. The Kohanim, the Nevi'im, nobody really took charge. Nobody was responsible for this nation. And because of this, they allowed sinning to continue, and they allowed my nation to be hurt. They allowed my people to get into iniquity and therefore have to face it. And this ultimately led to Ki es Hashem ozvu lishmor. They stopped guarding Hashem. The Malbim points out that if you look at these two sections back to back, the first section about their sins and the second section talking about the guilt of the leaders, you'll notice that one of the operative words is riv, which means fight or reprimand. In the first pasuk of the parak, which is the beginning of the first section, it says, Shimu dvar Hashem b'nei Israel, ki riv la Hashem im yoshvei haaretz. Hashem has a bone to pick, he has a fight to pick with the people for their actions. Beginning the second section, which is the pasuk of Dalet, it says, Ach ish al yorev v'al yochia yoichach ish. Nobody is rebuking. Nobody is fighting about these terrible things going on. The Malbim says that's exactly the point. When we as humanity fail to take actions towards leadership, we fail to talk about other people sinning around us, we fail to take responsibility, to care, to cry about those around us who are in fact jeopardizing their own lives, well, Hashem has to do the riv then himself. If we aren't prepared to rebuke, Hashem has to pick up that strand and rebuke. And that's the flow between these two sections. We move on to the third section of the four in this parak, and that is from Pasuk Yud Aleph to Yud Dalet. And this section talks about the spirit of rebellion, which so to speak saturates the Northern Kingdom. And it's very interesting how it's described. Listen to the first two psukim in this section. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, Zanus v'yayin v'tirosh yikach lev, you have this sort of perversion towards all the towards wine and oils, all these delicious things. Ami ba'etzoy yishal umaklo yagidloy. Ki ruach zrunim hisa vayiznu mitachas elokeihem. That ultimately they will be seduced to serve the other gods. What does this mean? So the Diat Mikra points out, Rav Yehuda Kiel, in his explanation of this sefer, has a very, very fascinating point. He quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Pei Gimel Amud Beis, which says an interesting concept. And that is that Israel never served Avodah Zarah because ideologically they served Avodah Zarah, but rather it was Lahatir Lohem Arayas Befarhesia, but it was to live a more licentious, indulgent lifestyle when it came to morals, when it came to physical relationships. That means to say that the Avodah Zarah wasn't the end, it was the means towards a lifestyle. And that's what the Perek seems to be setting up over here, is you chose the type of loose lifestyle you wanted, and then you adopted the culture and religion necessary to be able to live by that. It's much harder to live with monotheism, where it demands from you a certain moral standard, when if you can live in the polytheistic culture, there's lots of things you can do, and the pagan worship involves a lot of things that are very pleasurable. So that was ultimately the ends which I chose, which is why he's rebuking it in this section. It's interesting, in this section, when talking about the negativity that we face, it says, Al-Kain tiznena b'noisechem v'kaloisechem t'na afena. That because of this, because of getting involved in Avodah Zarah and in immoral relationships, your daughters and your daughters-in-law will act in a licentious way. So what the Rashi points out on this pasuk is a very interesting thing. He says this is a stage, because first what happens is you get all cozy with the culture around you, and the intermarriage happens. The next step after intermarriage is that you have an intermarried child. But you know what happens to that child? That child is influenced by that spouse's culture in a way that they are going to also act in the same way, in the same culture as a parent. Yes, the Jewish parent says, oh yes, we'll try, but ultimately, many times, and statistics have unfortunately shown us this to be true today predominantly, that ultimately they are not brought up in the Israelite or the Jewish culture that one parent had hoped. And that's what the pasuk is talking about, is the children of these assimilated marriages, which are being described. Finally, the last closing section of this parak runs from Tesavov to Yud Zayin, and this is where Hoshea pivots down south, and he actually turns to Yehuda, and he says, "Im zoneh ata Yisrael, al ye'esham Yehuda." Don't now Israel impact Yehuda. Rather, chavurat zavrim Ephraim hanachloi. There's so much Avodah Zarah in Ephraim, in the Northern Kingdom. Hanachloi, leave them. The Radak says this refers to Hashem saying to the prophet that perhaps they're beyond salvation, which is a very sad point. The Malma says, no, it's turning to Yehuda and saying, don't get involved with them. Don't get involved in their practices, because soon destruction is coming, and all their false idols and their false altars will ultimately be embarrassed and left without owner. So don't get involved in them. And this comes to an interesting point about this whole chapter as we conclude it, and that is, who was the audience? Was the audience Yisrael, and it was the rebuke of the Northern Kingdom? Or was it Yehuda in the south, and trying to make sure that they weren't being influenced by the north? It's a very fascinating, beautiful Dvar Torah, once heard by Diane Ba'eri, from Keren B'Yavne, who pointed out that at the Seder, we noticed that there's four psukim in the Torah that talk about talking to our children at the Seder, and each of them relates to one of the four sons. What's interesting is that we don't quote those psukim in the Seder one for one. So for instance, we quote the pasuk of the She'eni Yodea Lishol twice in the Haggadah, where it says, "Bavur ze osa Hashem li yitzesim im Mitzrayim." You say that to the She'eni Yodea Lishol, but you also use that pasuk in place of the Rasha's pasuk as well. That's actually the pasuk which is for the She'eni Yodea Lishol, which means to say, it sounds like you're giving the Rasha the answer of the She'eni Yodea Lishol. The child is not able to answer that question. Why so? So Diane Ba'eri pointed out that actually the audience is not the Rasha. The Rasha is not interested in having a conversation. It's not a dialogue. He has a monologue. Well, in that case, you're not going to really speak to him. But what you do is you lean over him to the child who's going to be influenced most by him. The child really doesn't even know how to ask questions. Just sits there watching this loud person express their strong views. And you turn to them and say, and you point to the Rasha, because you're having a conversation over him, not to him, speaking to the one who could be most influenced. Who is the audience of this perek? Is the audience of this perek Yisrael in the north who are sinning? Or is the audience the south who may be influenced? And that's a different perspective which seems to be happening at the end of the perek. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.